Music begins with a performance by guitarist Pablo Sainz Villegas with a performance with the Philharmonic Orchestra of the Americas, conducted by Alondra de la Parra. This is Manuel Ponce's Concerto for Guitar and Orchestra.
And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Kate Durio and Kate Waxley, here to talk about Fall Fest again. We talked a little bit about what was going on downtown yesterday, more in particular today about events at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. And there's a lot that goes on there during Art Walk in general, and in particular this Fall Fest. I know you have some special things happening as well. So welcome back also, Kate. It's been a while since we've had you in our studios.
Yes.
You have a lovely new baby. But I'm sure you're glad to be back working.
Absolutely.
At the
ACA. I do miss him, but I'm glad to be back in the mix of things and be back at work. But
well, and especially exciting times with the fall. And I know this is the third year for Fall Fest, and it's been very well received. A lot of people enjoy going down to downtown for the Fall Fest.
Right. You know, we're excited to be involved again in Fall Fest and all what downtown development has organized for us, shutting down Jefferson Street and really making it that festival feel with Art Walk on the streets and things like that. But, you know, of course, we have some great exhibits. We want people to come out and get to enjoy, and it's free of charge. And, you know, we'll be opening at 4 for Fall Fest. It's an extra long afternoon of Art Walk. So people, you know, they can get to come in and see a great main gallery exhibit that we have continuing, and that's called Reconfigured and Configured, and it's really an interesting exhibit, perfect for fall around Halloween. It's transformations of the human body, and it really explores the physical and psychological aspect of the human body and the manipulations that the artist kind of you know, due to their art pieces through fragmentation and abstraction. So, you know, it's kind of emotionally charged because you see these different physiques in different forms that is really interesting, but also kind of grabs you in certain ways. So I encourage people to come out and get to enjoy that.
We had a really nice conversation last month, I guess, with Mary Bate and Lisa Osborne, who has some pieces in the show, and really kind of nicely following the landscape exhibit that Mary Bate had helped to curate, which really transformed our ideas about what landscape art is about. And they were saying that this really does the same thing for our sense of figurative art.
It does. You know, walking in there, it's a great exhibit, and Mary and Brian do a great job at walking in there. You know, it's definitely something you want to spend some time taking in and absorbing, because some of the pieces, you know, they're so interesting in the different ways that you can view them and you look at them, and everyone kind of sees them in a different way, you know, as art kind of, you know, is for people. But this one's an especially emotional kind of exhibition that kind of grabs you and pulls you in to the pieces. So, you know, that's going to be continuing on, and that will be up until October 13th. But, you know, so that's highly encouraged to come out and get to view that. And we, of course, we have a side gallery exhibit that's Ernie Fournette. And that's a great exhibit. He had a career as a professional police officer, and there's lots of images in there that kind of go back to that time in his life for him. So it's really interesting what he's kind of put together. His background is in fine arts, though, although his career was in policing. So that's a great exhibit to come in and experience. And then we have the Doodle Virus, which is a really fun exhibit, little postcards that people have drawn on and created art with, and those little pieces are actually for sale, and they benefit, the money goes to benefit our visual arts departments to keep creating and doing great things.
I heard y'all got a really nice response from artists sending lots of pieces in.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was a really good response during the last art walk.
It is, and it's so just a really fun thing to get to see, and some people did several, so there's kind of this transformation, you know, that you get to see as you walk through, and you see the different pieces. And it's interesting what people can do with such a small piece of paper. It's just a piece of paper. It's just 4x6.
It'll inspire all of us maybe to try.
Yeah, even myself, who's not very artistic in
now,
that
are
way
some of the pieces still for sale, or did they all get sold during the last art walk?
I believe there's some pieces left that you can come in and purchase. So, and that's another big thing at our art walks. You know, you get to come in and browse and then purchase some of the pieces and speak to some of the artists that are present. So it's a great way to kind of come in and get to know, you know, some local artists.
All right. And who's in the vault?
We have Margaret, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, Brinkhaus. And she has an exhibition with Gourds. But we do have a new exhibition, and that's in the Malia Galleria, and that's works by Terry Groh, which is going to be a great piece, and it's landscapes as well, kind of like our last main gallery exhibit. But, you know, it's kind of rural landscapes, so it should be a really beautiful exhibition for people to come and see.
Again, if you have just tuned in, we're talking about Fall Fest, which is this Saturday in downtown Lafayette. With me are Kate Waxley with the Acadiana Center for the Arts and Kate Durio with downtown Lafayette talking about Fall Fest. Again, the ACA is one venue downtown. There will be many that have exhibits, and we'll get Kate to tell us about some of the spaces and also some of the artists that will be on the street as well. So I know you all are just coming off of a very successful concert last night.
Right.
Lyle Lovett was at the ACA, so you're getting things ready for the Fall Fest. In addition to the gallery spaces that you've just mentioned, will there be other things happening, music? Or
yes. You know, Gwen Richard with our community development department has been doing a community at the center setup, and she's going to bring in three community organizations, and they're going to do a performance. One's going to do a performance in the theater, and then there'll be a setup outside so people can kind of experience what they're doing in the community and how the ACA is working with these organizations, and how they can get involved, how the community can get involved if you'd like to do that, you know, which is always fun and interesting. So there will be a performance, but I believe that will start a little later, around 6 during the regular art walk time, whenever.
Right. And this art walk does start at 4, as
it
you
does.
Mentioned. Okay, so 4 until 8, and some galleries are open a little later.
We're going to be open until 9.
Okay.
Yeah. But not only do we have stuff going on inside the ACA, we have a lot of things going on outside, and I'm going to let Kate Durio kind of talk about what's going on the outside. And
yeah, I know some of our listeners got to hear, but if you could just kind of sketch out what happens during this Fall Fest. It's different than a regular art walk. Just kind of give us a picture of what's going on.
Well, we actually closed down the 500 and 600 block of Jefferson Street, and we invite over, I think it's about 20 artists we have this year displaying their art, talking with people who are interested in what they've created. And it's, you know, it's like Kate said, it's just a great way to interact with people, and you really create that emotional attachment to pieces that you're buying, and you're supporting the local art scene, so it's kind of a win-win for everyone. And this weekend for Fall Fest is a great time for you to come out and see Art Walk if you've never been before. the galleries will have all their doors open and they're doing special exhibits in addition to the 20 artists on the street. And we'll have three different bands playing throughout the evening. Machete is playing at Jefferson Street Pub just outside of their location. Rio Luminoso is playing at Parc de Lafayette, and Michonne is also playing at Parc de Lafayette. So between 4 to 8, come out and just kind of explore and maybe, you know, pick up something you like and hear some good music and have a good time.
Now, you mentioned that the 500 and 600 blocks are shut down, traffic can't go. Is that where the artists will be outside along those two blocks?
They will be, yes. And that's, just in case you don't know, it's from Congress Street to Main Street on Jefferson. So you won't be able to drive down there, but you can park in the parking garage and stroll on over and stay around for a few hours.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that, and again, for people, is where is the ACA in relation to that, those two blocks? Is that close by?
Yeah. They're within, on Vermilion, so okay, that's right. The street kind of in the middle of
so
where
perfect.
It's all happening.
So y'all are blocked off. It's just like a little pedestrian walkway that evening.
A great location. Yeah. For sure.
Well, good. And I know we talked about, and I'm sure some people are still very interested in those maps you mentioned. A couple of people asked me about those. You can get maps of the Downtown Art Walk online or downtown as well.
Yeah, we'll have some on site for distribution, but you can also get them on our website. On there is listed all of the artists that are going to be showing their art and also all the galleries that are participating as well. So you can see where the music is. You can see where some of the restaurants are, where you can park. So it's really kind of a good guide for everything Fall Fest.
Right. I think a lot of people will appreciate that because some of us go downtown to our walk and we really don't know where everything is. Mm-hmm. You know? Right. And so you end up sort of staying in one place and not exploring further. I think those maps will be a great help to some people.
And they'll also be, we have a children's area. We're getting some things from the ACA, and we're working with the Children's Museum of Acadiana to put together a children's area where we want kids to kind of create their own art and incorporate them into this event because, you know, it's important for the future of the art of Acadiana.
Right, and it starts early, 4 o'clock, so it's a nice time to bring the children out.
Yeah, and we hear the weather's even going to be cool.
Yes, cool, and the chance of rain has dropped. It's continued to drop,
so
could be a really, really nice day. And, you know, just talking about the art, one of the things we spoke of yesterday with Creative Action and their project Imagine Downtown, they were all fascinated with some of the forums that had happened for the comprehensive plan, just how much people talked about art and how much people recognized how important it is. So it's a message that's obviously out there among people. And I do know that it's a special district, isn't it? Downtown, like if you do purchase art, isn't there a special tax?
It's a state cultural district, so you pay no state sales tax on original art in the district at any time, not just during Art Walk. So that's a little incentive, too, that is out there for you if you shop downtown for art. And, you know, I think you kind of said it. I think that citywide art is recognized as such a draw and such a strong point for the people here. I mean, you see like a Saturday Art Walk event at the Oil Center. You see it at River Ranch. So it's not just downtown, but we do have about 16 galleries that are here downtown. So, you know, we're kind of the hub of that. And
it's a very long tradition in downtown Lafayette.
Yeah, and, you know, but we just encourage it, you know, all over Acadiana. Mm-hmm. You know, it's we have artists that come from all over the state and even to the ACA from, you know, all around the country. So it's just a huge draw and a great place if you like local art.
That's right. I don't know what year Art Walk is in, but I know you mentioned yesterday that Downtown Alive is in its 30th year.
Yep.
And that starts on Friday, another draw to downtown. So quite a number of years that Art Walk has been happening.
I think it's actually been about 25 years that's
so
been
great.
Happening.
It's impressive. And it's really, you know, gratifying to know that it's continuing and it's only getting stronger.
Mm-hmm. Nice way to introduce your children to the importance of art as well.
Yeah,
great. It's a great place to be for me. I'll have to bring Oliver out so he can experience all of what, you know, the hub of downtown is.
That's right.
And
start
the
developing
art district.
His taste in art as well.
Yeah, that would be great. Early at 7 weeks or 8 weeks.
That's right. They're already very visual.
Yeah.
Don't know if he'll hold his own in the children's area yet.
Maybe not this year.
Yeah. If you have just tuned in, my guests are Kate Durio, Kate Waxley, talking about Fall Fest and Second Saturday Art Walk. It's the third year of this particular Saturday, Second Saturday Art Walk, being Fall Fest. It takes place all across downtown. Lots of gallery spaces open, some returning exhibits, some new exhibits. And then, of course, the artist that Kate Durio mentioned, who will be out on the street on Saturday. That's a really wonderful element to the Fall Fest. And, of course, the music that happens, too. So, and I think there's food about, and that really makes it a full festival.
Absolutely. There's some great places to stop in and get a bite, and then our Acacia Cafe will be functioning as well.
And you were mentioning some kind of like tasting as well downtown.
Yeah. Well, some of our galleries that participate in every art walk are offering little extras to kind of, you know, enhance the festival feel of Fall Fest. Zoom Photo Studio is doing a southern tasting where they're having local cheeses and wine and beer and other little foods.
In addition to their exhibits that they're having.
In addition to that. So it's pretty exciting to go and experience that.
Right. Well, it sounds like a really nice opportunity to try and visit all of those different gallery spaces. Since it's 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours long, you can get your maps for where all the galleries are. Just spend the entire afternoon there and enjoy the art and finding out more about downtown.
Right. And we'll cross our fingers for nice weather.
Right, absolutely. And I know, again, going back to the creative action people in this Imagine Downtown, kind of a nice opportunity maybe to be strolling and seeing people out and about downtown and imagining what could even make it better, the experience downtown better. So if you've been thinking about entering that contest of Imagine Downtown, if you're interested in planning, city planning, landscape design, this is a good Saturday to stroll around and see what people are doing and how they use downtown.
Yeah, what I like to tell people is, I mean, if you had seen downtown 20 years ago and you compare it to what it is now, I mean, there's just, the difference is alarming, you know, so different. And so that's what I like with the comprehensive plan. You think about, well, just think of how great 20 more years can
That's
be
right.
if we kind of keep on that same trajectory.
Because it took people with vision back
right,
then.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so those are the kind of people that we want. And Lafayette's just brimming with those kinds of creative people and people with vision now. And so it's an exciting time for downtown and I think really all of Lafayette.
Yeah. So use your imagination this Fall Fest and think about ways we could make it even more wonderful. So starts at 4 o'clock, Fall Fest. The ACA will be open at 4 and go on till around 9 o'clock.
Yes.
And then
the,
again,
the street
all
vendors
galleries.
Will shut down at 8, and we'll open the road back up at 9. So,
all right. And again, the website downtownlafayette.org.
That's right.
And there's a map there. There's all kinds of information about Fall Fest and Downtown Alive, of course.
Yep.
And things happening down there. And then the ACA's website.
Right. AcadianaCenterForTheArts.org. Mm-hmm. And there you're going to find information about, you know, our exhibitions, but also about our fall and spring season. We've just released that information. For performances, and you know, we're excited about that, as we are at this time every year, to use the theater and, you know, all of its capacity and all of its potential again for another year. It's just you know, it feels really good. Mm-hmm. So so go online, check out what we have going on, and you know, come out and get to enjoy a great Saturday with us.
All right. That's Second Saturday Art Walk, this time around Fall Fest, the third annual Fall Fest. Lots of places to find out information. Acadiana Center for the Arts, also downtownlafayette.org. Thank you both, Kate Durio with Downtown Lafayette and Kate Waxley with
Thank
the Acadiana
Judith.
Center for the Arts.
Thank you.
It is Thursday afternoon when KRVS presents From the Poet's Bookshelf with Louisiana poet Darryl Bork, reading works by writers from or inspired by Louisiana.
Today's first poem is by Gail White from The Accidental Cynic, Dialogue at a Wedding. Who would have thought she'd pick a younger man and foreign? Did they meet in Sicily? In Rome? A tourist guide, I understand. Italian men, they could excite a tree. Well, he's good-looking, I'll say that for him. Handsome enough, but not a patch on Jim. He only wants her money. Is that news? He'll be unfaithful in his wedding shoes. But while they filtered her through many minds, not one had mastered the essential fact. A heart in freezing weather, like a cat, will make a nest of anything it finds. And the second poem by Beau Boudreau, this poem is from Louisiana Literature, a review of literature in the humanities, edited by Jack B. Bedell and published at Southeastern Louisiana University in Hammond. Boudreau teaches in the continuing education program at Tulane University, and his first book is Running Red, Running Redder. Beau Boudreau's poem this afternoon is East Bank. Ferry boats and barges call each other after midnight, often through fog, and rarely collide. A woman at a cocktail party, her hair freshly bobbed in copper. I would take her home, her husband working at this hour on the Mississippi, a tugboat captain. We came close. She leaned in a warm whisper, and I could smell citrus, see a grove of orange and lemon trees. She freshened up, and I her drink. A foghorn blows through the open window, a warning like a rattlesnake in the grass.
Join KRVS each Thursday afternoon for From the Poet's Bookshelf with Louisiana poet Darryl Bork. And joining me now in the KRVS studios, Rachel Dugas with Vermilionville and Chief John Mayu. They are here to talk about the Free Native American Culture Day at Vermilionville, which will take place this Saturday, September 8th.
Yes.
And I also have to say about Chief Mayu, I have just learned that you're a KRVS alum and used to work here in the 60s. That's quite a distinction.
As we used to say many moons ago.
All right. Well, we're glad to have you back in our studios. Chief. Rachel, you were here not too long ago talking about the Acadian Culture Day,
yes,
which happened in mid-August.
Mm-hmm.
Was an incredible success. You had so many people go.
We did. It was a record Acadian Culture Day for the past few years at least, and we had great participation from the Acadian community and others who wanted to discover it. And everything went great until the rainstorm came, but then it cooled down a little bit.
That's
and
right.
People stayed to dance some more.
That's right. But it did hold off for a long time.
Yes.
You had a lot of people involved in all of the activities around Vermilionville. So a really great, successful day. And I know that you're looking forward to a successful day on Saturday. This is one of three free culture days that you all do.
It is. It's actually the last one of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We started out with Creole Culture Day in June, Acadian Culture Day in August, and Native American Culture Day is always in September. So we're happy to be able to offer those free days to the public
here, our community, and to visitors that just happen to come by. They get that bonus of getting in for free and discovering a culture they may not have known that much.
Right. And I guess some of these cultures, we know something about them, but we may not have the opportunity to interact with them on a regular basis. And so you all are really offering us this chance to meet people who are from the cultures and learn specific folklore and traditions in those cultures.
I think that one-on-one aspect with the participants, not only the tribes, but also the visitors visiting, is really what makes the event special. Mm-hmm. And everyone is going to be bringing information on what their projects are, you know, maybe more contemporary projects, but we're also really trying to focus on traditional occupational crafts and things like that as well. So there'll be a big mix of elements, cultural elements, that I hope represent properly, you know, the different areas and different tribes.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk more about some of the little events and things that mm-hmm. people can do during the day. But Chief John Maya, in addition to being a KRVS alum, you're obviously the chief of a tribe. Tell us about your tribe.
The Abigail tribe is one of the oldest Louisiana tribes still in existence. Many years ago, people were saying that we no longer existed because at one point we had to hide out to stay alive. And, of course, in the tribe, if people were light-skinned enough, they'd pass for white. If they were darker-skinned, they'd pass for black because it was safer than being Indian. During those days, you could actually get into more trouble bothering your neighbor's dog than you could killing an Indian. In fact, between 1900 and 1920, they rounded up almost 500 of our people and took them in the back country and hanged them so they could take their land. And, of course, they weren't. People in those days were not foolish enough to put that in writing. But about 4 years ago, we had a lady in the tribe who was 114 years old when she died. And just before her death, she took us out to the place where all of this occurred. And she said, my uncle was hanging here, my grandfather here, my cousin over here. Not someone told me, I saw them. So naturally, we got all of that documented, videotaped, and affidavits and everything from everyone who was there. So we have documentation if we ever need it. So we were out hiding. About 10 years ago, we decided it was time to come out of hiding. We needed to let people know we still existed and we're still around.
Well, for those people who have not heard the name Abigail, give us a sense of where the tribe is traditionally from in Louisiana.
Okay, first of all, Avalos Parish was named for our tribe. And our territory consisted of Point Coupique Parish, Avalos, and Rapides. We controlled, our territory began at the headwaters of the Teche, along the Atchafalaya to Red River, and from Red River all the way up to Les Rapides, the rapids between Alexandria and Pineville. That was our territory. And our name, Avogel, means the Flint people, because we went up to Arkansas and we got Flint, and we'd bring it down and trade it to the other tribes and also to the French for their muskets.
It's not something we have a lot of in Louisiana, is it, Flint?
No, there's not much stone in Louisiana at all, if any. So if you ever find arrowheads or anything like that around, it's stuff that we brought at one time. Then after the Spanish came into the West, we went over to New Spain, Texas today, and we'd collect horses and cattle and bring them to Louisiana and trade. Mm-hmm. People always welcomed us, many tribes, because of the trading that we did. We had mm-hmm. things they wanted or needed. In fact, one day the governor of Louisiana, the French governor, called us in and says, you have to stop bringing the horses. And we said, well, why? Don't you like what we're bringing? He says, oh, yes, they're fine Andalusian stock. I said, why, are they too expensive? He says, no. In fact, we don't understand how you can go over there and get the horses and bring them and sell them so cheaply. We just didn't inform him that what we do is find them wandering around on the plains and just show them a new home. Mm-hmm. You don't have to tell all of your secrets, you know, mm-hmm. when, especially with officials. And we said, well, what's the problem? He says, well, now we have too many. We don't know what to do with all the extras. So we ran ourselves out of the horse business.
You were too successful. So I imagine there are lots of historical accounts. I mean, it sounds like some of these stories were written about by other peoples, the Spanish, the French, mm-hmm. that you were mentioned in many historical documents. And so that's a wonderful way to learn about some of these stories. But then also I'm sure there are many stories handed down.
Oh, yes. Most of our stories are handed down. My wife is the storyteller in the tribe, mm-hmm. and she'll be there staff. Saturday to tell stories. And last year, the kids loved the stories. They really enjoyed it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Stories were a way of teaching the children how to live. Mm-hmm. We also believed in teaching children how to behave through example. And in the stories, of course, we didn't have MTV or Game Boy or anything like that in those days. So we'd sit around a campfire at night. They would tell stories which would entertain but also teach a moral lesson as well. And it was enjoyed by everyone.
Mm-hmm. So you and your wife will be there. Or will there be other members of the Abigail tribe?
We have five other members who will be coming, who have said they will come along and help out. And we hope to have a very good demonstration. We have a lot of artifacts that we brought last year, and we're going to bring them back again this year, mm-hmm. and maybe add a few more.
And what kinds of artifacts will you have with you?
Leather hunting shirts, war shirt, drum, tools, weapons, different types of things for decorations.
Some of those arrowheads?
We will have arrowheads, mm-hmm. but they'll be for a certain function. Mm-hmm. We will be handing out some arrowheads,
okay.
Yes.
All right. If you have just tuned in, my guests are Rachel Dugas with Vermilionville and Chief John Mayu from the Abigail tribe up in Avoyelles Parish. He and some of the other tribe members will be at the Free Native American Culture Day, which will take place this Saturday at Vermilionville. There will be other Louisiana tribes there, Rachel?
There will be. I don't want to sound like I'm listing too many, but I would like everyone to be, yes. to be mentioned. Mm-hmm. We have the Attakapa Ishak Nation who will be there, the Abigail, the Kenichi and the Band of Lipan Apache, Chitimacha, Kushara, Ile de Jean Charles Band, which we haven't heard back from since last week's hurricane. So we're hoping that everything is still all right. The same for the Puerto Chien tribe, who said that they would be coming, but they're probably very busy right now cleaning up. And we've also got the members of the Houma Nation that will be present. Mr. Kirby Verrett comes every year to help us out with our, really right now it's just a small representation of Native American culture. We have a hut and a bousillage oven. So this year he's going to be kind of restoring the oven with some bousillage. So we've got we're getting the clay out of the pond today, and the moss has been curing for
so
a while.
It's all fresh clay.
Exactly. And then we've also got the Attakapa Opelousas Prairie and Eagle tribes that will be there. So we have a variety of different tribes represented, and I think a variety of activities as well, beading, weaving, drumming, dancing, storytelling, ancient weapons, and everyone's going to also be invited to have, all the participating tribes will have information tables about what they're doing right now. And we're also having a section from 11 to 12 in the Performance Center where everyone gets 5 minutes to sort of say what their major projects are these days.
Each tribe
yes.
will be talking about that. And will the different groups be spread out around Vermilionville?
Absolutely. Yes. They're going to occupy the village.
Occupy the village.
In
a great way. We've actually got someone in all of the buildings in the village. And we've also got an archaeology section in Maison Broussard, which is the last house in the back. We've got partners from UL and LSU that will be speaking about the archaeology of the bayou. Mm-hmm. And our trapper's hut is going to be the place to make some crafts for the kids. So they're going to be fun crafts to make, too. Our gardener grew some little egg gourds this summer, and they've been drying, and the kids are going to be able to make rattles with those. And we've got little pouches that they can make. So I think there'll be something for everyone.
Good takeaways from this.
Yes, mm-hmm. And the kids are going to have to travel through the village because we have a scavenger hunt that requires them to go and visit and learn something about every participating tribe that's going to be spread out through the village. And obviously they get a prize at the end if they get them all right, or probably just if they participate.
Well, what time does the scavenger hunt start?
It's going to be throughout the day.
Okay, so when you come in with your children, then they just get the details of the scavenger hunt.
Yeah, we've got a little booklet for them so that they can fill it all out. And our employee, Jolie, she worked really hard to make great scavenger rhymes. So it's going to be entertaining on top of being educational.
So great reason to bring your kids and let them find out more about the culture of Native Americans in Louisiana. Again, it's free. So if you have not yet been to the village, this is a really nice time to go to Vermilionville and see what they've done there. I mean, again, I go on about it, but it's so beautiful, so well laid out, and it's a perfect place to visit and learn more about the different cultures. And obviously they can learn about a particular culture throughout the year, but these days really afford us a chance to get a fuller sense of what Louisiana is all about and all the different traditions making us up. Now, one thing you didn't mention, which is often a part of these special days, is food. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be having any special food ways with
there that? Are food ways that are going to be featured. Fry bread is going to be demonstrated, and I'm sure tasted. Like I see Chief
Naye. He's got a wonderful look on his voice.
So I'm sure we will be able to get you some, because your house will be pretty close to where they're cooking doing the cooking demonstration, so you'll be able to smell it all day. So we'll have some of those outside and inside, and of course Vermilionville always has food for sale, and beverages are on site for people that would like to have some, you know, taste something different. Mm-hmm. And I want to mention also that we have Vermilionville is one of the only sites in town where you can take a boat tour of the Vermilion. And we are doing 3 boat tours on Saturday, 10:30, 11:30, and 12:30. They're shorter. They're just half an hour. But if you've never been on the river, on the bayou, it is a great chance to do so with our skipper, Captain Greg. He knows a lot about the culture surrounding the river and the plant life and the animal life. So it's also a great experience.
So a really nice added value to that day as well. You all have a website and you have Facebook. Facebook's a really, I know I liked y'all and I love the photographs and the information that gets sent out on Facebook.
Yeah, our website is vermilionville.org, and the complete calendar of events or the timeline schedule is all there. So if you're curious about, maybe you don't have the whole day from 10 to 4 to come, but you just want to choose a time, the whole thing is right there. You can see when the things are that interest you. But all of the tribes will be present from 10 to 4 in their stations, and the crafts will go from 10 to 2. So those are the major elements that will run longer.
And Chief Mayu, I'm sure there are some people wondering if you all have any special events that happen up in Avoyelles Parish, if there are things that go on up there that people might be able to participate in or see, or I don't know if you all have a festival or maybe a gathering, or may not be open to the public.
Yeah, yeah. The gatherings we have are for the tribe only. We do have one at the last Saturday in October, which is our Thanksgiving celebration. Mm-hmm. And originally Thanksgiving was the end of October until someone decided to move it to the end of November so it would be closer to Christmas so people would go out shopping and help the economy. But we still celebrate the end of October as Thanksgiving among the tribe, and we also celebrate November. We got two. So
more
we celebrate we celebrate ours and yours at the same time. As far as festivals in Louisiana, there is the Corn Festival in Avoyelles Parish, which they have in June. Some of the other projects we're working on, which we'll tell people when we get over there, are not things that you can go and visit at this time. But we are very busy. The tribe is busy trying to reclaim some of the sites that are sacred to us and that we can put back in a pristine condition again.
Right.
And we're having to work with the landowners in doing that.
Well, what you're saying there is, again, all the more reason that this day at Vermilionville is so important, because it sounds like many of the activities of your tribe, and I'm sure many others, are private. And so it's not something that the public can participate in. And this day allows us the chance to interact and find out more about what you do.
We're hoping one day to have a powwow. If you've never been to a powwow in Louisiana, there are several of them throughout the state. The first one is going to be October 26th and 27th at DeRidder. And they're very interesting. All of them are open to the public. And you don't have to be Indian to get in. The entry fees are usually very expensive, anywhere from $3 to $5. And the outfits that these dancers have are fantastic. And all the dance outfits are handmade, because you can't buy them anywhere. And they're beautiful, really worthwhile seeing. And, of course, there's a lot of Indian food there, too. Like she was talking about the fry bread and some of the others. And if you've never tried buffalo burger, I highly recommend it. Very, very delicious.
Okay, when is that?
October 26th and 27th in DeRidder. Right. They're having a powwow there. And I happen to be one of the gourd dancers for powwows in
Louisiana.
So you
all do participate?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, good. Well, we'll look forward to hearing more about those powwows around the state. I'm sure when people visit various members of the tribes, they can find out more about those activities throughout the state as well. Again, the Free Native American Culture Day at Vermilionville is this Saturday, September 8th. Their website has a lot more information about the day as well, and also like them on Facebook, and they can find out more. So, again, just maybe the particulars, Rachelle, time, and where it's taking place.
It's going to be open from 10 to 4 this Saturday, September 8th. It's free to the public. The only thing that is that you need to pay to do is the boat tour, and that's pretty much it. You'll have the chance to travel through the village, meet the different tribes, and also see the performances, because we will have two dance performances and one drumming performance, presentations by all of the tribes. We're also showing two films in the afternoon in our performance center. So those will be also an interesting addition to the program. We have an exhibit in our conference room as well that is part of our rotating exhibit program on Native Americans in Louisiana. And as we did for the other two culture days, we will have sharing circles. And these will be on the topics of hunting and fishing practices and healing practices. So you can go and sort of listen in to the secrets of the different tribes.
Well, it definitely sounds like you could spend the entire day there.
You could.
Visiting all of the different tribes and participating in these activities. That's this Saturday of Vermilionville, the Free Native American Culture Day. My guest, Rachelle Dugas with Vermilionville, and Chief John Mayu with the Avogel in Avoyelles Parish. He and a number of members of his tribe will be at Vermilionville on Saturday. Thank you both, and thank you all so much for the work you put into these free culture days. I know so many people are enjoying them.
Well, merci. Thanks to you guys for helping us get the word out there.
Our pleasure.
KRVS Lafayette, Lake Charles.
And now a look at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. Series tickets are available for the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra's upcoming seasons, their Masterworks Concert Season and the Chamber Music Series. Information and tickets are available through their website, acadianasymphony.org. Tonight in Baton Rouge, Tigalo, a Louisiana horse story, will premiere at the Manship Theater. Doors open at 6 and the movie starts at 7:30. You can call the Manship for ticket information. The annual faculty exhibition at McNeese through the Department of Visual Arts will be on display September 6th today through October 4th. A reception for the artists will be held later in the month in the Grand Gallery. That will be from 6 to 8 p.m. on September 28th. The Pandemonium Theater Group announces auditions for Frank Baum's The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus. Frank Baum, of course, was the author of The Wizard of Oz, but his play, The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus, will be performed in Crowley. That will be at the Grand Opera House of the South. Auditions are tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. and on Saturday from 8 to 10 in the morning. They need 9 men, 8 women, 15 children, and lots of extras. Auditions will be at the Crowley Art Gallery at 222 North Parkerson Avenue in downtown Crowley. Tonight in Grand Coteau, the program 100,000 Poets for Change. This is an international program that was very successful. Lafayette had a really successful event last year. St. Landry Parish is getting into it, and Grand Coteau will be sponsoring an event tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. that will include Daryl Bork, the former Louisiana Poet Laureate, and spoken word artist Alex Johnson, and others will be there. The reading is free and open to the public. There will also be open mic available, interspersed through the readers, so you can come early to sign up for that open mic. That's tonight in Grand Coteau at Casa Azul, 7 to 9 p.m., a program which is a part of the 100,000 Poets for Change. The McNeese Department of Visual Arts will host a civility exhibition. It opens today, and the reception will be this evening from 6 to 8 p.m. in the Abercrombie Gallery. That exhibit is in the Abercrombie. It will be up through October 4th. The McNeese Faculty Potpourri Recital will be held tonight as well at 7:30 in the Sherman Fine Arts Theater. It's free and will feature Bill Rose, Anne Rose, Patrick Shang, Jay Ecker, Carol Lines, Fred Salmon, Judy Hand, Lena Morita, Jan Scott, and many others. The Connections Women's Networking Group will meet tomorrow at 12 noon. Lainey Harris from the ACA will be presenting. For more information, please contact Connections. The play Breakup to Makeup will be performed at Cité des Arts this weekend, Friday and Saturday evenings at 7:30, and on Sunday there will be a matinee. For more information, go to the Cité website, citédesarts.org. There will be a piano festival in Lake Charles this weekend, hosted by the Department of Performing Arts at McNeese. All events are open to the public. You can purchase festival tickets. You can call the Department of Performing Arts. Events will be held Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Fall classes are being offered through Acting Unlimited Incorporated for tweens, teens, and adults. For more information, you can call Acting Unlimited Incorporated. There are also acting classes at the ACA through Acting Up in Acadiana. The Fall Downtown Alive series begins this Friday, September 7th in Park International with a performance by Kermit Ruffins and the Barbecue Swingers. Vermilionville will host their free Native American Day this Saturday. That's September 8th, and starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. For more information, you can go to their website. Opening at the Hilliard this weekend, The Art of Sean Major, Rhyme and Reason. It will be opening to the public on Saturday, September 8th, and there will be quite a number of other exhibits that will open throughout the month. We'll be speaking with Sean next week about her exhibit. Melded Notions will open this Saturday for Second Saturday Art Walk, Fall Fest. Lisa Osborne, Sherry Fotlin, and Jen Reed will be presenting Melded Notions at the Alamo. This is Second Saturday Art Walk, Fall Fest, the third annual Fall Fest, taking place in downtown Lafayette. Galleries up and down Jefferson Street will be open. Also, there are two blocks that will be sealed to traffic, and there will be artists, about 20 artists set up in the streets. There will be music. music as well. That will be from 4 until 8 o'clock in downtown Lafayette. All are invited to attend. The Bagmat Ministry will have a workshop this Saturday, September 8th, from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. Individuals or service groups are invited to participate, either for an hour or for the entire day. For more information, you can email them at mats4homeless@gmail.com or just show up at Grace Presbyterian Church in Lafayette starting at 9 o'clock this Saturday. And for a listing of programs on KRVS, please stop by our website, which is krvs.org, clicking on the schedule button and finding out about a weekly schedule or individual programs. You can also support KRVS in many ways. Just click the support button and find out all the ways that you can help support KRVS. Stay tuned to KRVS this afternoon and evening. We're with NPR's All Things Considered from 4 until 6. From 6 to 7, Terry Gross hosts Fresh Air. At 7 o'clock, it's This American Life with Ira Glass. At 8, Thistle and Shamrock. At 9, locally produced Franco Mix with Val Broussard Boston. At 10, it's Cecil Doyle's Earthbeat. And we'll continue the evening with Spin Cycle. In just a moment, we'll be joining NPR's All Things Considered.